And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray publicly in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they will not receive the reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father privately. Then your Father, who sees everything, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like the Gentiles do, for they think their prayers will be answered because of their many words, which they keep repeating over and over again. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. You know, in this series we are talking about true prayer. Today, I am going to discuss three important requirements that you and I must follow when we take out that space or enter into prayer with our Heavenly Father. Here, Jesus talks to us about these three requirements, and you will learn about them soon. But Jesus also talks about the different individuals who prayed, but did not pray in the correct manner. We have those who Jesus called hypocrites, because they were the ones who were religious, but were not interested in establishing a relationship with God. Rather, they were interested in what other people thought of them. By showing off, on quotes, their good spiritual condition at the synagogues or at the temples, they loved to pray aloud so people could have a good opinion about them by noticing their good oratory skills and give them praise since they were presenting themselves as spiritual individuals. Jesus said, "If the intention of your prayer is for others to know that you are spiritual, so you can be praised by people, this will be the reward that you will receive. It will not be a reward from heaven, but a reward from people. And boy, do the rewards given by people only produce pain. Why do they produce pain? Because just like today, they praise you and talk nice about you because you did something good. The day that you fail, they will not remember the good you did. Rather, pardon the expression, they will hit you with a bucket." So, when Jesus talks about prayer and says, remember that you are about to communicate with the Father and He knows what things we need, it's not about how many fancy words we use. On one occasion, Jesus also tells them a story about two men who arrived at the temple to pray. One of them, a religious person of that time, a respectable person, knowledgeable of the law, and the other one who did not enjoy a good reputation because he was a sinner. Jesus talks about the two prayer models which each of them offered. The first one, the man who was knowledgeable of the law, based on how he was praying, show that he considered himself to be a superior spiritual man. He prayed in this manner, "Thank you, Lord, because I give my tithe, I give my offering, I do good deeds, and I am not like this sinner who is here next to me." He was praying only to condemn the other man who was a sinner. He took a few minutes to pray, talking, expressing how good he was. When it was time for the sinful man to pray, he kneels in front of the altar and simply says, "Be merciful with me, for I am a sinner." Jesus asked his disciples, "Who do you think was most justified there? Certainly the man who not even prayed for 1 minute, but who had a correct disposition of the heart." His words were simple, were short, but they were what came out of his heart. which is what made him be justified in front of God. Consequently, when we are going to pray, it is important that we take into consideration these three points, these three requirements which the Lord Jesus Christ suggests to us to learn so we can build that relationship with the Father through prayer. The first requirement is to have the correct attitude. While praying, attitude is important. Therefore, Matthew chapter 6, verses 6 and 7, which we just read, mentions three important points about attitude. And the first point about having a good attitude is when you pray, do not pray like the hypocrites pray, which is found in Matthew chapter 6, verse 5. What is the function of a person who is referred to as a hypocrite? As a rule, it's a person with a double personality. It's someone who smiles at you, is it not? And then talks bad about you behind your back. In other words, Jesus was saying, what God is interested in is in the attitude that exists in the heart, and He knows who approaches Him in prayer to us with a healthy heart, or with a heart who is only looking to fulfill a desire or a personal pursuit. Hypocrisy is not taken into consideration in front of God. Neither is the prayer which is made with an attitude of hypocrisy. Hence, it is not about showing how spiritual we are. What God is interested in is that our heart is naked in front of Him. There was a time that religion taught us wrong. I was born in a Christian household, and I was overloaded with many rules which were placed there with the purpose of reaching an objective, salvation. We did not understand what grace was, and we believed that by our own actions we gained heaven. Consequently, when I learned this word, I became free, and I learned that the only way to enter heaven, the only way to receive freedom and salvation, was drawing close to God, not drawing away from Him. But religion taught us that if we were sinners, we had to keep ourselves away from God, because the only way we could draw close to God was by being a saint. But then, the question that popped in my head was, how can I become a saint if I do not draw close to the one who is a saint? Who can sanctify me? When I talk to you about being a saint, I am not talking about being beatified. I am talking to you about being set apart. The word saint means to be set apart for God. Consequently, a good attitude of the heart is required. When you are going to pray, do not do it as an obligation. It must be born from the heart. You must understand and be clear that praying is not about repeating words without any purpose. Rather, it is a delight, taking out a space to enjoy our Heavenly Father, is to be with Him all the time. It is to build a relationship which will keep growing, and in the midst of that relationship, I will get to know many marvelous things about Him. I will build up a friendship who, when he builds a friendship, feels obligated to do so. You do it because it is born from your heart, and you want to keep growing in it. This good attitude has to be the same when we are going to pray. To know that I am taking out the time and that I will enjoy being with the Father. This is not a burden, my beloved friends. The second point regarding what is required of us when we pray is also important. Jesus mentioned it in verse 7. Do not use empty words and repetitions. There is nothing more tedious, or pardon the expression, boring, than to be with someone who keeps repeating the same words all the time, or who talks to you as if he would have learned a script which is not spontaneous. People who you realize are there only because they were forced or because they were told what to say. The same happens to us when I say I am going to pray and establish that relationship with my Heavenly Father, and the first thing I do is say, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. And I merely babble. Talking to God is not about simply moving your lips. Rather, there has to be an intention from the heart to be listened to, and to listen to the Heavenly Father as well, to be with Him, and for Him to be with us. How awesome! Start here. Therefore, empty words do not take us anywhere, nor repetitions. It is an act that is born from the heart, from a needy heart that longs for His presence and whose words reveal what it is in his heart. It is so true what Jesus teaches about praying and the heart. We will look into it more later during the course of this series when he talks about a relationship. But back to using empty words. When I understood what Jesus said about not using empty words, I imagine my daughter in a father-to-daughter family relationship and from father to daughter, or my children telling me they wanted something, but using empty words in order to praise me, to make me feel good, so I can give them what they want. I imagine my children coming close to me, my 5-year-old daughter and my 3-year-old son approaching me because they want an ice cream, telling me, Oh, wonderful Elias, Oh, almighty Elias, my father, my friend, here you are with me. Oh, I love you, and I am here. I come on my knees in front of you because I recognize that you are this and that. So, Oh, great Elias, my father, I ask you today, please, I want an ice cream. Can you give it to me? This point might make some laugh, but this is how we often look in front of God. But let us go to the point. If we have the freedom as a son or daughter to draw close to the Father, it is one thing to recognize who He is and use words to love Him. This is beautiful. It should be like this. But do not use fancy words whose objective is to obtain a personal wish. When my children want something, they simply approach me. Perhaps they hug me. They remain next to me. But finally they say, Dad, can I have an ice cream? It was not too hard. It was simple. And they get their ice cream. When you pray, do not use empty words. Be sincere with God. And third, when you pray, close the door. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 6, Jesus teaches us the importance of understanding that our prayer is a direct contact with God. There are no intermediaries. There is no one else. Some might say, but Pastor, the Bible says to pray for each other. Of course, you can. But one of the great results of praying, amen, for each other is when you go straight to intimacy to talk with the Father. This is what got the interest of Jesus' disciples. While they were talking among them there, or were practicing the praying methods in the synagogues that they had learned each time they looked for Jesus, he was not there. They would find him in a secluded place talking to the Father. They knew that Jesus' success did not reside in the power he had within, but it resided in the root of that power, in the intimate communion he had with the Heavenly Father. Jesus taught us the how-to. He taught us the way. And these three points are important. They are important requirements for a true, pure, simple prayer. They are no principles from another world. They are simple, and they, believe me, demolish every scheme we have learned about prayer. The simplicity of being with the Father and enjoying with Him, of getting up in the morning and sitting at the table to drink a cup of coffee, knowing that He's with you, or going to bed and knowing that He's there next to you and that you can say goodnight to Him, "I love you, Father," or during the day, parking your car for a moment, or there at your office, simply talking to Him and asking Him, "Guide me in the decisions I need to make." To have God watching over us at all times is part of a sincere, strong, and firm relationship. Not moving the way we want to, but according to His guidance. This kind of relationship is built by taking out time and space to get to know Him. So, when you pray, close the door. Please do not pray with your cell phone on, talking to others. There are special moments in which it is important to be dedicated. Can you imagine to be talking to someone about something important and that person is on his cell phone? Nodding his head, but you know he's not paying attention to you. How will you feel? To close the door means to get rid of the noise of the world, of everything that is around us, and only dedicate ourselves to give to the Lord that quality time. This is important. So the three requirements that true prayer requires are: A good attitude. Do not use empty words or repetitions. Go in and close the door. Be willing to have a personal relationship with the Lord. "Father, I thank you for this wonderful word that you teach us, Lord. How, in a simple manner, we can learn, Lord, about this awesome topic that brings us close to you so we can communicate with you. Today, Father, I ask you for your guidance and direction, and I ask that all who are listening to this word receive from you, Lord. In the name of Jesus, I thank you. Amen and amen." This was a translation of a devotional delivered by your pastor and friend, Elias Hoyos. He sends you blessings.